Hello, everyone, and welcome to the December year-end edition of the IHS Market Lithium Chemicals podcast. I'm Nick Kovics, the Service Director for our Lithium and Battery Materials Market Advisory Service. It's been quite the year in lithium, with new supply coming online, significant downstream investments driving growth, but also headwinds with a slowing global economic activity, trade wars, political unrest on multiple continents, and what we believe to be a short-term collapse in lithium prices as the market adjusts to changing supply and demand dynamics. In addition to our standard monthly update, I've asked each team member to provide what they believe to be one of the more interesting themes that unfolded this year. So with that, Austin, can you kick us off?
Thanks, Nick. Over the past month, the biggest topics have centered around demand, with automakers Hyundai, General Motors, Ford, and Tesla all making splashy announcements. While much of the demand story is just getting started, as shown in our demand forecast, we are now approaching that period where China is not the only story and demand is accelerating. Groundbreaking vehicle introductions are becoming commonplace, including the latest examples of the Ford Mustang Mach-E and the Tesla Cybertruck. In the grid storage space, the decline in battery costs have essentially made lithium-ion technology the de facto standard, whether before or after the meter.
Thanks, Austin. And so, what is your interesting theme that played out in 2019?
For me, the theme that played out in 2019 was the increasing importance of Australia as a swing producer and how they quickly ramped up in 2018 to supply converters in China and just as quickly retreated in late 2019 when prices moderated. Now let's hear from Lucas and his interesting theme from 2019.
For me, it was interesting to observe how the demand for LFP cathode materials accelerated after partial subsidies phase out in China. 2019 remains a big NMC market share growth story, with remarkable gains on year-on-year basis. But it was very interesting to see significant growth month-on-month of LFP cathodes as installed in EVs in China, which only started after the subsidies cuts became effective. There was a talk among market participants and observers about LFP cathodes as a thing of the past in EV applications. So I think this dynamic might have come as unexpected. Then only in December, BYD R&D Center Deputy Director said that LFP is to be one of major choices in post-subsidy era, which sort of made me appreciate this observation even more and keep my eyes open on how this trend may further develop. And this says a lot on how reactive this market still is to regulatory impact and how cost-sensitive EV's largest market, China, remains. One could also speculate how this trend might be at least partially responsible for diminishing premium between lithium hydroxide and carbonate on the Chinese spot market. Speaking of China, let me hand over to our Beijing-based colleague Lily to talk about her insights.
In response to Austin's comments, I see China's downstream demand as the main driver, making Australia act as a swing producer in lithium supply. As we have seen in 2019, lithium carbonate price in domestic China experienced significant declines associated with declining sales of NEVs. The interesting theme for me this year is not only that lithium carbonate price declined, but also lithium hydroxide prices did too. The two prices are converging on a spot basis, with hydroxide price over carbonate of 146% at the peak in October 2018, decreasing to the current level of 4.6%. This is because, from a demand perspective, purchases are based on a short-term demand rather than long-term contracts. We learned that due to the significant decline in carbonate price, many low nickel content NMC battery producers in China switched from using hydroxide as a raw material to carbonate for cost-saving purpose. On the other hand, from the supply perspective, China's domestic converters began to release hydroxide capacity planned from a few years ago, either in early stage of small production or on a commercial scale. This results in hydroxide oversupply in the market. Jiangxi Alabama and Sichuan Energy Investment Dingsheng Lithium, for instance, are the main incremental source for hydroxide oversupply. Another interesting theme regarding China is we learned that Alabama would potentially continue its M&A activities in China at significantly lower capex per metric ton conversion plans compared to outside of China, which is part of its capital intensity reduction scheme. This will give Alabama greater flexibility in free cash flow to catch up the upward dynamics of lithium market if the market turns out a bullish market in a quick manner.
Thanks, Lily. It's always insightful to get perspective from boots on the ground in China. As this is our year-end podcast, it's timely for me to announce that this will also be my last podcast as I step aside for Austin to take over. So one last question for me to you, Austin, to close out the year. Based on a tumultuous 2019 for lithium, what do you think lies ahead in 2020 and beyond? Are we up for more volatility, or has the market found a stable path?
Nick, I expect we will continue to see volatility in 2020 and an increasing spread between the haves and have-nots when it comes to utilization and pricing. The demands of the EV sector will increase the spread between the top suppliers and the second tier group based on quality. I also expect China will reemerge, providing growth in the NEV sector and a spread of the globalization to include more activities in North America and Europe. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to interacting with our listeners, clients, and others in the new year.